Welcome everyone to the Small Fleet and Owner Operator Summit. I'm Thomas Washington, trucking expert here at FreightWaves, and super excited to be talking about legislation, especially in this fireside chat that's going to be impacting said small fleet. So joining us now is going to be Brandon Wiseman, president of TruckSafe Consulting. And Brandon, a lot of stuff going on. Election season's coming up, in spite of the fact that even if you're not elected and you're like in the FMCSA or DOT, for these fleets that are trying to wade through it, tell us first a little bit about yourself, and then what are some of the first things that have popped up on the radar as we are approaching all of these big events?
Sure. Well, thanks, Thomas, and appreciate the opportunity to jump on here today. My background, like you said, I'm president of a company called TruckSafe Consulting. We push out a lot of content for fleets on how to better understand the safety regulations and better comply with them and build out cutting edge safety programs. So we do that through a number of different ways, including online courses, all about DOT regulations, YouTube videos, articles, that type of stuff. I'm also a partner with the Childress Law Firm. It's a small law firm, and again, we specialize in helping fleets with their DOT safety and compliance. So helping them through DOT audits, working on their policies, and doing some due diligence and transactions, that type of stuff. So that's my background. In terms of things going on, regulatorily speaking, like you said, it's an election year, which always makes things interesting. You know, the FMCSA has its agenda, its regulatory agenda that it publishes every year. And we're seeing some things start to slip in terms of their timelines. Things that they had proposed last year for this year are starting to move back a little bit. And, that's just the nature of things in an election year. We're not sure who's going to be installed in key positions at the agency, if there's going to be new ones installed, and they may have different priorities than the people that are in there currently when it comes to laws. And so we're just going to have to wait and see. But things that are currently on the books, some of the big ones I'm watching, and we can get into these, are speed limiters. Certainly, that's the elephant in the room that has been for the last several years. We've got some intriguing new potential rulemaking on changes to carrier safety ratings, the way that motor carriers are rated by the agency in terms of their safety and compliance. We've got potential insurance hikes. We've got changes to the CSA platform. And then we've got some developments with the Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse. So those are all on my radar for the near future.
And I think before we dive into those, because some really good topics to chew through, with the timeline splits, something that I heard as well is that some of these FMCSA administrators, if you're not CITIC confirmed, maybe you're a little less likely to do something and make a big splash. Or if you are confirmed and you're outgoing, maybe you want to make a splash. Is there any kind of strategy? I think out of the last 6 or 7 years, we've had 6 or 7 administrators. So it feels a little bit like musical chairs. Is that going to add any of the complexity as we dive into these individual topics?
Yeah, it's a bit of a revolving door. I don't know if there's any truth to the idea that a non-Senate confirmed administrator, an acting administrator essentially, is less inclined to get regulations pushed through. I've seen acting administrators push significant rulemaking through in the past. I understand the concept generally that if they're not Senate confirmed, then maybe they don't have the backing of the folks that install them in that position. But I don't think we should consider just because it's an acting position that we're not going to see any significant developments, because we have seen that in the past.
So let's dive into speed limiters. That's going to be one of the big top of mind questions. When I worked at a large fleet, they had governors, speed limiters. It was kind of common. Drivers had to just deal with it. Smaller fleets, need for speed. You got to be able to adjust. And it's also an issue of like older vehicles versus newer ones. When you're looking at that and zooming into the smaller fleet situation, what are some of the feedback and that you're getting?
Well, for one, this is a rulemaking that dates back to 2016. It's a joint rulemaking between FMCSA and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA. And it's one they've tried to push through, for, like I said, for many years. It's one that's gotten a lot of blowback from many in the industry, not just small fleets, but a lot of small fleets and a lot of drivers. In fact, I think the last numbers I saw, there were upwards of 15,000 comments in the docket for this particular rulemaking, most of them negative, for good reasons. And so that's the impression that I've gotten from a lot of our clients, is that they're just not happy with the rulemaking. And I think that's what's led to the delay in this rulemaking. We've seen FMCSA come out over the last 5 years or so every once in a while and say that, hey, remember that speed limiter rulemaking that we had proposed? We're still continuing, or we're still thinking about moving forward with that. In fact, the last time they did that was late 2022. They said, yeah, we're still thinking about moving forward with that. We were supposed to see the next step in the rulemaking process in December of 2023. And that came and went, and we didn't see anything. What we did see was the FMCSA's Senate-confirmed administrator at the time, Robin Hutchinson, testifying to Congress. And one of the issues, big issues in that congressional testimony, was the speed limiter rule. And clearly, a lot of the Congress folks that were questioning her were kind of parroting what they are inevitably hearing from their constituents, which was displeasure with this potential rule banking. And they expressed that displeasure pretty firmly to Robin Hutchinson at the time. And so maybe that's what contributed to us not seeing anything, any developments in December. But what we know from early this year, 2024, is that this is still on the agenda. And in fact, the FMCSA is indicating that we may see this rulemaking proceed in May of this year. Whether that will come to be, we're just going to have to wait and see. And that's going to be the theme of our discussion, I fear, today, is that we're going to have to wait and see. But yeah, that's the sense I get from our clients, and that's kind of the current status of it.
And it kind of ties into the safety aspect as well. You know, CSA changes safety ratings. One of the things I think that when I talk to people around the industry was, you know, looking at it from a reactive to a proactive, how your safety score is calculated. On that front, are there any upcoming changes, rulemaking that may change the very fundamental way that, you know, your safety rating is? Because if you have a really bad safety rating, you can open up a whole new can of worms.
Yeah, safety ratings are, I can't overstate the importance of safety ratings for fleets of any size. Safety ratings, for those not familiar with it, are issued by the FMCSA to motor carriers that have undergone a comprehensive compliance review, those that have been through a detailed audit of their records. Not the new entrant audits, not the roadside inspections, we're talking in-depth compliance reviews. And there's one of three safety ratings currently: satisfactory, conditional, or unsatisfactory. Those are important for several reasons, not the least of which is that if you get an unsatisfactory rating coming out of an audit, your entire fleet is going to be shut down by the FMCSA. So obviously bad news there. But beyond that, there are lots of stakeholders that are looking at safety ratings as an important metric in determining whether they want to do business with you or not. A lot of shippers and brokers are looking at a motor carrier's safety rating, and if it's less than satisfactory, then they're not going to tender you freight anymore. Also, the plaintiff's bar is looking at safety ratings in the context of highway accidents. Your insurers are looking at safety ratings when calculating your premiums. So again, I can't overstate the importance of these. We have heard from the FMCSA that they intend to change the way that they issue these safety ratings. This rating system methodology has been in place for decades at this point, relatively unchanged. And the problem, according to FMCSA and many in the industry, is that it is so involved of a process, it requires an audit, that the FMCSA, which is a relatively small agency, just does not have the manpower to go out and audit any significant percentage of the carriers that they regulate, upwards of 700,000 carriers in the country now. And so what that practically means is that there are just so few motor carriers in the country that even have a safety rating. I think upwards of 90% of the carriers in the country have no safety rating because they haven't been audited. So that's a problem, according to the agency, because it means that they are just not able to effectively measure the compliance of a large swath of the carriers that they regulate. So they are looking at changes to that system to let them broaden their reach and issue safety ratings to a bigger subset of carriers that they regulate. How they're going to do that, we don't have the details on that. We are very early on in the rulemaking stage for this rule. It's an advanced notice of proposed rulemaking, which is the earliest stage, meaning they haven't even set up a framework for this. They are just thinking about it. And we don't have a deadline yet for when they may move forward with this. Interesting note here, there have been a lot of industry conferences lately, including MATS in Louisville. FMCSA, as I understand it, gave a speech at MATS, and they didn't even mention this rulemaking during that speech, which makes me think that this may be one that is slipping in terms of time frame for it. So I don't anticipate that we're going to see anything about the safety ratings this year. It's probably going to be one that we see in 2025. But if they change it, it's going to be a significant shakeup for the industry and for the way that FMCSA measures the compliance of motor carriers and enforces their regulations.
It almost forces, if you're a large carrier, you have self-reporting. So the carriers who want to take advantage of it, they're the ones that are going out there and asking to be reviewed, or fleets that want to have it. And then
if they're doing that, that's a bad idea. I would recommend you not do that.
Please don't look through my stuff.
That's my free advice to you today.
I was curious about that because when I came from a startup, that was one of the challenges was getting a good rating because they wanted a satisfactory rating. But being a new entrant, you had your NHTSA and everything else like that. And so it did feel like jumping through all these hoops because it's like, well, you want to have the good rating, but you're also afraid that they're going to go through a fine tooth comb and just look for something. Because it's like you always find something when you show up.
Well, and it's very heavily dependent on the auditor that you get, on the investigator that you get. Some of them are great to work with, and they're willing to overlook some of the ticky-tack things that inevitably show up in your files, but others are sticklers. And like you said, if they want to find a way to cause problems for you, they will find ways to cause problems for you. It's inevitable. So volunteering for a DOT audit or even for roadside inspections, I get this all the time, especially from small fleets. They want to get more clean inspections to help improve their CSA scores or to satisfy brokers or shippers that are looking for more activity from them. And so they asked me, hey, should number one, is it possible for me to volunteer for a roadside inspection? And number two, is it a good idea? Some states will allow you to volunteer for inspections, but what I'm finding more and more is that it is less common for states to come in and do inspections when you are just volunteering for them. And number two, it's a bad idea for a lot of the same reasons that I've already mentioned, especially with roadside inspections. They're going to be able to find something wrong with the vehicle or with the driver's credentials. And more than likely, you're going to get some kind of violation coming out of a volunteered inspection. And then that's going to have the opposite effect that you're intending. So I always think it's a bad idea.
Well, it ties into the CSA changes, the scores, the point system that's traditionally used and how it's supposed to encourage or discourage. You know, if you have a lot of violations, you get more points, you're more likely to get inspected. If you're very clean, you're less likely to get inspected. Looking at some changes coming up to that, how I'd interpreted it was that the weight of violations is being reviewed. So like how much you get hosed for certain things not being correct. What are some of these changes that are being looked at or proposed?
Yeah, these were changes that were proposed early 2023 that have not moved forward. So this is another one that's kind of slipping in time. But you're right, that's the main proposed change. Number one, we should back up and say, why is the agency even doing this? Why are they proposing changes to the system? They are doing this because Congress told them they had to. A lot of folks in the industry have complained about the reliability of the data in the CSA system and whether the system does a good job of targeting the worst performing performing motor carriers or not. And based on those complaints and some studies that were done of the system, Congress told FMCSA they had to make some changes to it. So they are doing that. They are proposing changes. They've proposed probably a handful or so of fairly significant changes. These would be the most substantial changes to the system since it was implemented in 2010. And it's going to impact scores once these eventually take effect. You're right. The most notable change are changes to the way that we weight the violations discovered in roadside inspections. Right now, they're on a severity weight scale of 1 to 10. The most serious violations weigh the most heavily on your scores, as you would expect. They are 10-pointers. Going forward, they are proposing to move to a simplified severity weighting system of either 1 or 2. The violations are going to have a severity weight of either 1 or 2. Which ones get 1, which ones get 2? The 2-pointers are going to be the out-of-service violations, where your driver or the trucks get stopped from continuing to operate because of a serious violation. Things like drivers being outside their hours of service limits, or trucks having flat tires, stuff that render your vehicles or drivers out of service are going to be 2-pointers, and everything else is going to be a 1-pointer. The whole idea with that, as I understand it, is that that 1 to 10 scale that's in place now is very subjective. It's not based on any data that correlates certain violations to higher crash risk. It was kind of ad hoc put together by the agency of some group of them sitting together in a room determining which violation should have a higher weight or not. That was one of the big criticisms with the system. That's one that they're addressing ostensibly by simplifying the severity weights. The other big one I would say, again, there's a handful of them. We don't have time to get to them all. But the other big one I would say is that, you know, right now we have 7 categories that carriers are measured in. They're called the 7 basics. One of those categories is called vehicle maintenance, and it takes into consideration all your vehicle maintenance problems, brakes, lights, tires, those types of things. The agency is proposing splitting that out into 2 separate categories. That's the basic that has the most violation data in it of all the 7 basics. And to make this easier for carriers to get their arms wrapped around and understand what's leading to high scores in the basic, they are proposing to split it out into 2 separate categories. One is going to be called vehicle maintenance, as it is today. The other one is going to be called vehicle maintenance driver observed. The idea being that that latter category is going to encompass issues that the driver should have caught had they done a thorough enough pre-trip inspection. So things like a light bulb out, you know, headlight out or tail light out, or low tread depth, things that should have been patently obvious to the driver in a pre-trip inspection. The other category, the standard vehicle maintenance category, are going to be things that are more latent with the vehicle that a driver may not have noticed. So more mechanical issues with the truck. The idea being that if we have a high driver observed category, well, then maybe we should take that as evidence that we have a problem with drivers not doing thorough enough pre-trip inspections, versus if I have a high vehicle maintenance category, then it's more of a mechanical issue where I need to get my trucks in and serviced. So those are the 2 big changes proposed.
A lot of changes to go through. This is some really great information as well. Unfortunately, we are running low on time, but if folks want to get in touch, especially with all of these changes coming up, proposed, enacted in the pipeline, not even laid the pipeline down yet, what's the best way to get into contact and learn more?
Well, we've got a few different ways. Our website is trucksafe.com, but we do all kinds of webinars on these topics. We have like 2-hour webinars where we went over just those SMS changes. We also do a monthly podcast called Truck Safe Live, where we talk about all of this type of stuff that's going on. So those are great places to keep up to date on regulatory developments like these. Trucksafe.com and Truck Safe Live, wherever you get your podcast.
Perfect. Brandon, thanks so much for your time. Definitely give them a check out. We are out of time today, but a lot more great content coming up in this Small Fleet and Owner Operator Summit. Stay tuned.